You know, one of the worst things in the world to happen to an individual is to get lost. I don't know if you've ever been lost before, but there's been times that I've been lost, and you drive around and you have absolutely no idea where you're at. And the frustrating thing about being lost is, number one, you're wasting time, and number two, you're wasting gas. Nothing more frustrating.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of part three of Looking for a Reason to Fight. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of part three of Looking for a Reason to Fight.
All right, if you'd open in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, and we're going to get to the conclusion of this message today. We've shared with you the first two parts of the message, and we're going to wrap it up this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 12. And here, Paul, writing to Timothy somewhere between A.D. 63 and A.D. 66, he tells his son in the faith to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. And as Paul continued to serve God, and as Paul continued to minister, carrying the gospel all over the then known world, and Paul comes to the end of his life, and according to tradition, Paul was beheaded in a Roman prison. And as Paul was sitting on death row in the last days of his life, if you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says in verse 7, "For I am ready now to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Some 2 to 4 years later, after Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight, Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And we share the message, looking for a reason to fight. Looking for a reason to fight. You've got to have a reason in this life to fight. You've got to have a reason every day to get up out of bed. The Apostle Paul, what was his drive? What was his motivation? His motivation was getting the gospel out. And Paul says that I found a fight that I'm going to fight, and I'm going to fight it right down to the very end. Saints, have you found a reason to fight today? Has there been a reason that you've been set on this earth to do the will of God, and you've been fighting the good fight? God wants his people to find a reason to fight. We shared about David and how that David went out into the valley one day and saw Goliath out there taunting the armies of God. And he just had enough of seeing this giant out there intimidating God's people. And David asked the question, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? The name of Jehovah God is at stake. And here this individual is out here defying God, ridiculing God's people. Is there not a cause? And David went and slew the giant Goliath. God is asking his people today, are there some giants that we need to be slaying? Is there some purpose in life that we need to find? Do we have a reason in this life to fight? What is your reason today? Why did you get up out of bed today? Why do you get up out of bed any day of the week? Some people might say, well, Pastor, I don't get up. That's the problem. But what drives you? What motivates you? And you know, I want to speak to you along two lines this morning. I want to speak to you along the lines of what it is that God has called you in your life to do, maybe as your profession, maybe as your job, whatever the case may be. But I also want to challenge you and ask you, what has God called you to do in the kingdom of God? We've been challenged this morning by many of the songs that the deaf ministry shared with us. telling us that we need to do our best, telling us that we need to find a service and get involved in it. So God is getting a message through to us today that there has to be something that we fight for. There has to be a cause that we fight for. What is it that you're fighting for in your personal life? But what is it that you're fighting for in what God has called you to do? As we come together and do God's will, we can see an impact made upon this world today. We talked about finding your purpose and fight for it. The benefits of having a cause to fight for. The benefits of having a cause to fight for. We said that it will decrease your aggravation. Having a cause to fight for will eliminate the frustration of doing meaningless work. Some people get up day after day not having any purpose and direction, and it seems like all the work that they do is just absolute frustration. When you've got a cause to fight for, it will decrease your aggravation, but also it will increase your inspiration. Having a cause to fight for will bring some excitement and motivation to your life. It'll give you a charge. It'll give you something to be excited about each and every day, knowing that God has a purpose for you. I've shared it with you before. Man, I love to study God's word. Man, I just get excited about studying God's word. And you know, there was a time when, before we got high tech into computers and all that, that I would have all my books, my Bible commentaries, Bible dictionary, Greek helps, all the theology books, just put it, and man, it was just like I was sitting down at a table with a steak dinner and potatoes and greens and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes. Oh man, it was just like sitting down to a feast. That's how excited. But you know, now with the computer, I've got everything I want just on one little computer program. I've got a program where there's 30 Bibles, where there's about 50 commentaries, where there's about three or four Bible dictionaries. Oh man, it's just, and so now instead of spreading out all those books, just sitting down at the computer and realizing that this is an opportunity. Man, that excites me to be able to study the word and be able to come and share it with somebody else and ask God to help me bring some light to somebody's life. What's your excitement? What excites you? What drives you? What motivates you? What encourages you? What are you fighting for? Oh, all of us need to have a reason to fight. And when you got that reason to fight, it will increase your inspiration. It will give you some excitement in your life. Some folk are not excited about life. And you know why they're not excited about life? Because there's no inspiration. There's nothing that they're out there fighting for. Finding your purpose will decrease your aggravation. It will increase your inspiration. And it will also sharpen your concentration. That when you've got a cause to fight for, that will allow you to stay focused and not get distracted. Remember, we talked about Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was up on the wall, and he was building the wall, and the enemies of God came and tried to talk Nehemiah down off the wall, and he said, I can't come down because I'm doing a work for God. He was focused. He was concentrating, and when you have a cause to fight for, there's some focus in your life. You don't get distracted. You don't get involved in things that God doesn't want you to get involved in, but when you got a focus, you stay when you got a goal, when you get inspired, you got something to stay focused on. And then we covered the first two points, the behavior of a cause to fight for. How do those who have a cause to fight for, what is their behavior? We said, first of all, it involves a self-drive. That means you don't need anybody to push you. You don't need anybody to use the old proverbial expression to kick you in the britches. You don't need that. Why? Because you are motivated yourself. You see something and you go after it and it drives you. Remember, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and that's where we'll finish off this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says in verse 24, know you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And you remember we talked about this word obtain. It comes from the Greek word katalambano. Kata, which means down, and lambano, which means to take or to snatch. And so what Paul was saying here is that there's a prize that awaits for each and every one of God's people. There's a goal, there's an objective, there's a prize that's waiting for you. And God says all you have to do is stay in the race and go take down the prize. All you got to do is get to the place where the prize is and you can take it down. You can snatch it. Are you snatching your prize? Or has your prize gone unclaimed? See, you don't need any motivation if you see what God wants you to do, because you got self-drive. You are not only powered by yourself, but you are powered by God. Somebody said, used the verse this morning, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is our strength. God is our power. God will give us that drive to take down the prize. And then we talked about it involves self-discipline, that if you are going to do what God wants you to do, you got to be a disciplined individual. And that leads us to our third point today, and that is there's got to be some self-direction. That when you have a reason to fight, that when you are doing what it is that God wants you to do, you have some direction. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul had direction in his running. He said that I'm just not out here going this way one day and going this way the next day and going over here the next day and over here the next day and then turning around going back here the next day. Paul said, I got some direction. He said, there is some direction in my life. He said, I understand my purpose. I understand my focus. And there's direction in that each step I take has purpose. Every step that I move, I got purpose. Every step that I'm going, there's some direction. You know, one of the worst things in the world to happen to an individual is to get lost. I don't know if you've ever been lost before, but there's been times that I've been lost, and you drive around, and you have absolutely no idea where you're at. And the frustrating thing about being lost is, number one, you're wasting time, and number two, you're wasting gas. Nothing more frustrating than being lost and not having direction. Oh, but you know, it's good that if I'm out there driving and all of a sudden you get lost, and you know, sometimes you start asking people for directions. And when you ask people for directions, you know, they might say, well, you know, go down to Joe's Crab Shack and turn. Hey, I don't know where Joe's Crab Shack is. You telling me, look, and then here you are still wandering around. But you know, there's nothing like getting back on the highway, and if you're headed towards Pittsburgh, seeing that sign, Pittsburgh, 92 miles. Amen. Amen. Nothing like seeing that sign, because you know that once I was lost, but now I'm found. Now I'm on the right road. Oh, there's such peace. There's such joy. There's such blessing in knowing that you're headed in the right direction. Man, nothing like that. See, when you know that you're headed in the right direction, you can put the pedal to the metal. But when you're lost, you know, tell me if this is true or not. When you're lost, you're a little like, I don't want to go too fast, you know. I'm looking, and you know, the other day, my brother, he lives way out in the West End somewhere, and when my mother was sick and we had to put her in the hospital about a week and a half ago, he didn't have a ride home, so I took him home. And he went, I don't know, way out somewhere. And we was driving through tunnels and way out. And so he told me, he said, now just follow the same way that you came in here. And I said, that wasn't too good a direction right there. So I came back, and I knew somewhere along, I knew I was going to mess that thing up. And somewhere along the line, I took a wrong turn. And I said, you know what? If I just drive long enough, I'm going to see a street that I'm familiar with. I'm going to see something that says Pittsburgh. Maybe I'll even be able to see some of the tall buildings downtown. Well, I drove for 15 minutes, and I wasn't seeing anything. Next thing I saw I was in Crafton. I said, Crafton? How in the world did I get out here? And I said, let me just turn around. And I turned around and went back and somehow got back on track. And then I got on Carson Street. And I said, I know I'm in the right place now. And you know what? When I got on Carson Street, you know what? I picked up the speed a little bit. Why? Because I knew where I was going. And see, folk that don't know where they're going, You know, they're hesitant. They pull back. They don't give. Man, the choir sang, or the deaf minister sang this morning, Lord, I'm giving my best to you. Lord, I want to give my all to you. You gave your best on Calvary for me. Now I want to give my best for you. You know what? You can't give your best when you don't know where you're going. But once you find out the direction that you're supposed to head, man, then you can just put everything into what God has called you to do. And let me say this. When I talk about self-direction and what Paul is talking about here, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Once again, when you run uncertainly, okay, which way? Which way? I'm looking for the marker. Which way do I turn? That's not what Paul's saying. Paul said, every step is purpose. Every step, I'm headed somewhere. And notice he follows it up with the analogy also. He says, and so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul said, look, he said, no, I'm not into this shadow boxing thing. You know, because you get out there and you start shadow boxing, what is that doing? All shadow boxing is doing is just wearing you out. You know what Paul says? He says, with every punch, pow, I'm landing the blow. Every punch, boom, I'm making it count. You know, it's something, you know, if you study boxers when they fight, and sometimes, you know, they'll get in that little huddle and close to each other, and they'll just be, you say, man, what in the world are they doing? They just wait. But you know what? Those punches are calculated a lot of times. Because what are they doing? They're wearing their opponent out. They're wearing them out. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, every punch that I take, I want it to have an impact. Every punch that I take, I want to land a blow that's going to make an impact on the situation that I'm dealing with. Self-direction. Self-direction. If you're going to find something to fight for, then you have to have a direction in which you're going. And let me say this. It's not your direction either. Because some people say, okay, well, let me find my direction, and then let me put all my effort into going my direction. No, the direction that I'm talking about is God's direction. And let me tell you something. When you go God's direction, you don't have to worry about anything. I had got invited to speak at a retreat for a church, and it was way out of the turnpike somewhere. And as I was going out there, I said, well, let me go on the internet to MapQuest and get some directions. So I went on MapQuest and I got directions to go to this retreat at one of these resorts way out the turnpike. And as I was driving out there, all of a sudden I turned off the turnpike with, like, the MapQuest told me to, and I'm driving back out there in the country roads, and there was a sign that said, road under construction, please follow detour. So I'm following the detour, and then this, all of a sudden, there's no more signs that tell you where to go. And I'm thinking, man, now this MapQuest thing. I said, I was through with MapQuest at that point. And I rode around once again, lost out there, and then I finally ran into some other people who got map directions from MapQuest, and they were lost too. And so we kind of got together and found out where we needed to go. But let me say this. This is my point. See, if you find God's direction for your life and you find out where it is God wants you to go, see, God already knows where the road construction is. God already knows where the detours are. And so as long as I'm following God's directions, what is he going to do? He's going to take me around the detours, because he's going to show me where they're at, and he's going to move me to the place where he wants me to go. See, MapQuest might let you down. MapQuest might not know about the road detours. MapQuest might not know about road construction. Oh, but we serve a God who's seen the beginning and seen the end. He sees the road along the way. He sees the roadblocks. He sees the hazards. He sees the dangers. And God will guide you through and around those areas. So when I'm talking about direction this morning, saints, I'm not talking about you having your own direction. I'm talking about you finding God's direction. And that when you find God's direction, you can go into it full speed. There was a guy who was moving a couch out of his house, and he couldn't get it out. It was about halfway through the door, and as he was moving this couch, he saw his neighbor, and he said to his neighbor, he said, "Hey, can you come and help me get this couch? Can you come and help me move this couch?" So both of them worked on the couch. They were pushing and pulling for about 15 minutes. Nothing happened. And finally, the guy said, "Look, we're not going to be able to move this couch. You know, it's just useless. We're just going to have to leave it here." He said, "I guess I'm not going to be able to get this couch out of the house." And the guy, his neighbor, said, "What do you mean, out?" Is that the way we do with God sometimes? God is pushing in one direction. We're pushing in another direction. Wonder why we're not getting anywhere. Wonder why we're frustrated. Oh, yeah, you're fighting. Oh, yeah, you have drive and you have motivation. Oh, yeah, you are doing the things that you feel you have to do. But how come the couch is not moving? Could it be because you're pushing against God? When I'm talking about direction, and I'm talking about self-direction, I'm talking about self-direction because you found that from God. You know, there's an interesting verse in Proverbs chapter 6, and it says to the sluggard, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider his ways." And then it says, "Who having no overseer or guide." Or guide. The ant does not have a guide. The ant knows where to go. The ant knows how to collect food. The ant knows where to take the food. The ant has no guide. Oh, but let me back up for a second. Does the ant have a guide or does the ant not have a guide? God instinctively put in the ant where to find the food, where to go for the food, and know how to get the food. So even though the ant has no guide, there's an instinctive nature that tells the ant what to do. We don't need a guide. We need to have the instinctive nature of God within us. And once we have that, we know the direction that it is we're supposed to travel. And we do what it is that God has told us to do. Paul said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth against the air." Paul said, "Every step that I take has purpose and direction, and every punch that I land, every punch that I throw has purpose and direction." Self-directive. And my final point, as we look at the behavior of someone who has a reason to fight, and that is self-denial. Self-denial. He says in verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Self-denial. In the games that Paul is talking about here, he's letting us know that the athletes had to train and they had to follow a strict set of guidelines. They couldn't be out here hip-hopping and partying. The athletes couldn't be out here carousing and boozing. The athletes couldn't be out here doing their thing, but there had to be some discipline in their life. And with that discipline, at times it came to a point of self-denial. Sometimes in order for you to reach the goal that God has called you to reach, there's got to be some self-denial. I remember when I was working on my doctorate degree, there was many times I had opportunities to do a lot of other things. And especially when it came down to doing my thesis and my dissertation, that was primarily on me. And other guys were talking about going to do this and going to do that. I realized that I couldn't hang out with the guys like I used to. I realized that there were certain things I couldn't do. I had to deny myself in order to stay in and research and type and do the things that it was going to take for me to attain the goal that God had called me to attain. Self-denial. Sometimes you got to put your wishes, sometimes you've got to put your desires on hold because of what God has called you to do.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part 3 of Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Part 3 of Looking for a Reason to Fight, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request part 3 of Looking for a Reason to Fight, or program number 060924. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request part 3 of Looking for a Reason to Fight, or program number 060924. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.